Welcome to BookSpeak on Indiana Public Radio, a chance for members of our audience to review a book on the air.
My name is James Mitchell. I'm from Muncie, Indiana, and Helene Cooper wrote The House at Sugar Beach. Before and after, do you have a significant moment in your family's history that forever separated life into two parts? Most Liberians see their world in this way because of a coup in 1980 and the hell that came after it. Helene Cooper recounts her family's own before and after in The House at Sugar Beach. This is the memoir of a girl coming of age in a West African upper-class society. She tells her story of growing up in Liberia, pining from their mansion for the opportunity to become a Bintu, someone who's lived abroad in America or Europe and later returned to Liberia. At times while reading, I felt the sting of bitterness for the plight of the poor rich girl. She describes their home. Our house at Sugar Beach, the 22-room behemoth my father had built overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. However, I appreciated the generosity of the Cooper family that caused them to take in Eunice, a poor girl from the Bassa tribe. I've met some Bassa people and pictured them as I read about Eunice's family. I've traveled to Liberia, the after that Cooper observes when she returns to search for her long-lost adopted sister. I've witnessed firsthand the same emotional strength that characterizes Eunice and many others in this story. I read this book and thought of Edward, my Liberian friend. He lives a difficult life compared to what we see in East Central Indiana, and somehow still finds the joy in being alive. Be warned, this is not a light summer read. It is full of violence, teenage awkwardness, and a picture of strength beyond belief. For many readers, this story may become a before and after in your lives and how you view America, Africa, and poverty. But it is worth the read if only to know more about the plight of those who are 5,000 miles away. It speaks also to the lives of those around us who seek a respite from poverty. Cooper sees and tells of the resilience of humanity. I am thankful that she was able to find the voice and the courage to share her family's story with the rest of us. I'm James Mitchell for BookSpeak.
This is Carol Trimmer reviewing David McCulloch's newest book, The Greater Journey, Americans in Paris. McCulloch has undertaken an ambitious study of Americans in Paris in the 19th century. He begins in the 1830s when some enterprising young Americans undertake the long and dangerous voyage to France. The cast of characters comes from all 24 states, mostly artists and students. Samuel Morse, pursuing a painting career, and Charles Sumner, who would become a U.S. senator and outspoken abolitionist. We see Emma Willard, founder of the first American school for women, who was shocked by the nude statue she saw in Paris, but loved French opera. Elizabeth Blackwell, the first American woman to earn a medical degree, would found America's first maternity hospital. As the century wore on, even as European immigrants were fleeing to the New World, Americans were going to the Old World to improve themselves and to bring improvements to their young country. Most of them had never left home before, and most spoke not a word of French. The writer Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr. was inspired to bring his newfound knowledge back to Harvard Medical School, where he would teach. A few decades later, Paris was suffering terribly during the Franco-Prussian War. When the German army began its siege of Paris in 1870, the American ambassador to France, Elihu Washburn, stayed at his post while all others fled the city. The author draws upon Washburn's never-before-published diary for a first-hand account of the horror. Much of the rest of the book is devoted to the last decades of the 19th century, and American artists such as Mary Cassatt, John Singer Sargent, and sculptor Augustus St. Gaudens. I recommend reading the hardcover edition for its rich illustrations, with three sets of 16-page inserts in glorious color. The Greater Journey would make a good documentary film. If I were making this delightful book into a film, I'd want the author himself to narrate because of the youthful enthusiasm with which he tells the story. This is Carol Trimmer for BookSpeak.
Carol Trimmer is IPR's Outreach Coordinator Emeritus and a founding producer of BookSpeak. Remember, you can hear today's BookSpeak and all of our past episodes online at indianapublicradio.org. Support for BookSpeak 2011 comes from Toyota and Scion of Muncie. Our executive producer is Kristen Bitsyguy. I'm Brian Eckstein. Thanks for listening to BookSpeak 2011.